share the goodness of Jesus tonight and then get into some more worship, some praise and worship. I'm stoked that Ronnie's on tonight. Isn't Ronnie just such a blessing? Ronnie, you are such a blessing, bro. Really. You are awesome. The Ron Master. And I'm just really, really excited about tonight. Wow. You guys can all give yourselves a hand. This has got to be the biggest evening service we have had in a very long time. Give yourselves a hand. Just do that. Yes. It's good to have you all tonight. And we're just going to take up the offering. And while we do that, if I could have up that screen, Samson, we are going to declare the goodness of God over our lives and over our finances in 2011. Amen? So, why don't you stand with me? I just find standing, I know I've asked you to sit. Sorry. But just before we go, Andrew and Sean, I'd like us to get aggressive. You know, this morning I shared of the 12 spies who went into the promised land and came back. 10 of them had negative things to say. 2 had good things to say. And Caleb was very aggressive when there was so much negativity going around. Caleb jumped in and said, "Silence! We can take these people. We can take that land." And I want us to get aggressive tonight as we declare into 2011 what God has for us. Amen. So I have a little notice which is going to be my prophetic finances that I'm giving tonight. Okay? And if you'd like to take your hand, or if you have something that you are going to give, why don't you just put in your hand, because it's just a prophetic sign of these are my finances that I'm declaring over tonight. Okay? And declare it with me. I'm going to read it, and if you can read it with me, nice and loud and aggressive. Let's do this. At the outset of this year, we declare good things. We declare God's supernatural, unmerited favor over our families, finances, careers, and studies. We declare supernatural protection over each and every one of us. And we bind the works of the devourer and say you will not have your way among us this year. We thank you, Lord, that this year we will be blessed abundantly to be a blessing to the nations. We call out the dreams lying dormant in our hearts, new dreams to be birthed, to bring transformation. We give of our finances tonight as a sign of our faith and trust in you. We love you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Woo! All right, you can take a seat. That was awesome, guys. Well done. Sean and Andrew, do your thing. You guys are awesome. Well, I'm just going to share very quickly, because I don't want to take up the time. I'd like to give some people an opportunity to share what God's done in their lives this year. We are going to look back on 2010 and what He has done for us this year. So I've prepped last year, sorry. My apologies, thank you. Yeah, different year, thank you. Okay, I'm going to have to get used to that, thank you. So, we are going to look back on what God did last year and give thanks and build on what He has done going into this year. Okay, all right. Why don't you turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 19, verse 10. It's the last book in the Bible, in case you didn't know, unless you have the Apocrypha. Might be a few others in there as well. If you do, that's fine. Just I'd suggest you read the Gospels and those books more than the Apocrypha. Just leave it at that. Revelation 19, verse 10. Is everyone there? Okay. Listen to this. At this I fell at His feet to worship Him. That's the best stance to be when you see the glory of Jesus. You just can't help but worship. But He said to me, "Do not do it. I am a fellow servant with you and with your brothers who hold to the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." And that's what I'd like us to pick up on there, that last line. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I have a title to what I'm sharing very quickly here, Releasing Faith by the testimony of Jesus. And if you could just turn to John 1 in verse 14 in conjunction with this verse. I'll wait for you to get there. Some Bible's still ruffling. So we got that. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Wouldn't you like to know what the spirit of prophecy is? It's quite clear. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Okay, so have a look at verse 14 here. The Word, capital W, the Word. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full. Everyone say with me, full. Full of grace and truth. The person of Jesus Christ is full of grace and truth. Did you know that there are levels of truth? It is true that in the Old Testament we see a revelation that sin is destructive. But in the New Testament we see love conquers sin. They're both true. Both statements are true. But one is a superior truth. Love conquers sin. Love covers a multitude of sin. Is a superior truth to sin is destructive. Both true, but one is a superior truth. Jesus came to reveal the nature of the Father. Nowhere else in Scripture is God revealed as Dad. And Jesus comes and He says, this is how you pray. Our Father. And He blows people's minds. And all of a sudden, Almighty God is our Dad. Jesus came to reveal the nature of the Father. Jesus never made someone sick. He never turned anyone away. He never brought out sin in people's lives. He never even judged people who deserved punishment. He always loved and always revealed the goodness of God. The Word of God is Jesus. I want you to get this. John 1:14. The Word became flesh. The Word of God is Jesus Christ. He is the manifestation of the Word of God, and Jesus Christ is good. So if you find anything in Scripture that doesn't reveal a good God, then you need to go back to the author of the Word, Holy Spirit, and say, what does this mean? Because people have been bound by religion from verses in the Bible because they believe that that's what God is like. The Crusaders took one verse. The kingdom of God is forcefully advancing and violent men lay hold of it. Now, we know looking back that these men, they were brutal. They murdered millions of people in the Middle East as they embarked on crusades into Jerusalem, Turkey. They were brutal. Now, was that godly? Did that reveal the nature of the Father? No. But yet they used a verse in the Bible. And that is why Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, the letter kills. The very letter in our Holy Bible can kill if we don't interpret the heart of God. Jesus is the Word made flesh, and Jesus was the manifestation of the goodness of God. God is good. This is the essential element of the Bible. God is good. And I've just got three things to tie up these two verses before we get into some testimonies tonight. The first one is, as I've said, Jesus is the goodness of God made manifest. The testimony of Jesus releases prophetic hope. According to Revelation 19 verse 10, the Spirit the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. When we declare the good things that our Savior, Jesus Christ, has done, what we're doing is we are releasing hope. And the third point is, prophecy is the good word of God over our lives. And so, when we declare what God has done, we are releasing the good word of God, which is the spirit of prophecy, which declares things that aren't as though they are. Amen? And that's what we're going to do tonight. We are going to declare the good things that God has done. Because Jesus has come to reveal a good God. And we live in covenant with this good God through what Jesus has done. And now we can celebrate the good things He has done in our lives. Sure, as I shared this morning, there are giants in the land. Sure, there are circumstances we face. Absolutely. But like Caleb and Joshua, it is absolutely essential we keep our eyes fixed on who is for us. He is for us, no matter what. No matter what we do. You know, in Numbers chapter 13, Joshua and Caleb say, Don't rebel against God. If only we don't rebel against God, then we can take this land. What did he mean? He meant don't disbelieve God. Don't distrust God. That's what rebel... Because then they didn't believe. They said, no, we're too small. We'll never make it. And God withdrew his hand from them because they didn't believe. They didn't believe that he was for them. Friends, there are giants. I acknowledge that. But God is doing good things among us. God is doing amazing things in this church, among us, as a people. Jesus is doing good things. And so tonight, we're going to share those good things. If I could just ask all the Fusion people going to Singapore just to quickly stand up here, very quickly. I didn't plan on doing this, but I just want to. So that was just what I wanted to share tonight. Thank you, Samson. You can have that off. And I start off this evening. This is a testimony. Right here. Not everyone's here tonight. We've got about five or six people who aren't here tonight. Friends, this is a manifestation of the goodness of God. Jesus is so good. There was a point Corinne and I discussed, and we said, if we can only take 5 people, then so be it. We're taking all 20. Jesus is good. We didn't give up. We were afraid. It was tough, but we didn't give up. We pressed in. We persevered. Preston. That's my name. Well spotted, Jimmy. And I just want to praise God tonight for what He has done. So, amen. Thank you, Jesus. And these guys have all been amazing. Every one of them. You guys have been awesome. I want to thank you guys. Robbie and Janine in overseeing the band and trying to get everyone together. All of you guys have just been awesome. Thank you so, so much. Babe, do you want to share anything? No? Okay. Does anyone... Yeah.
I remember standing up here and preaching. I think it was last year. And I said, and when I shared with you guys, I said to you, we need to start believing God for things that are bigger than we can handle. Things that are bigger than out of our usual boxes. And when I was saying that, I was thinking about this. I was thinking about how are we going to get these 20 people? How is this going to work? And so... Church, it's just so exciting to know that God saw something. He saw a dream. He saw something within us. And just to say to you guys, like, it takes courage. And I've cried many tears over Singapore. I hope it's going to be worth it. It is. But the truth is that God is bigger than what we can think or imagine. And so just as we going, I'm sure, you know, with us going, it's been a testimony to you guys. But God wants you to start believing things for your lives that are bigger than what you can handle. Things that you think that is crazy, that is ludicrous, that is too big. You know that when you're thinking those things, those are God's thoughts about you. It's not so much our thoughts about ourselves. It's God's thoughts about us. He says that his thoughts outweigh the numbers of the sand about our lives. It speaks about his ways being higher than our ways. It speaks about even a sacrifice of love is the biggest sacrifice. It's something that our minds cannot imagine. And so everything about God is bigger, greater, huger, wider, deeper, higher, magnified, multiplied, amazingly bigger than what our small minds can comprehend. And I just know that God has got the most incredible plans for this church, and that He sees those things over your lives every single day. And He doesn't see you necessarily how you see yourself, but He sees you in your full potential. He sees you literally walking into your offices and just getting people saved, healing the sick, walking into shopping centers. I don't know. God's dreams about your life. And also God says that He gives you the desires of His heart. He placed those desires that are already in your heart. He's the one who put those desires. So whatever desires are on your heart for 2011, whatever you're feeling, whatever you're thinking, whatever you're deciding, know that you're thinking those things because He's already placed those thoughts and those dreams inside of your heart. He wants that for your life. He wants good things for your life.
Yeah, you guys can take a seat. If any of you have something to share, that's great. I've asked Janine. I've just asked a couple of people to share. And so if you guys would like to come out and just have a seat on the stage, those people that have been asked either by myself or Corrine, just have a seat on the stage and then keep it to 3 or 4 minutes of just what God has done for you in 2010 and then hand it over to the next person. All right. Yeah, Robs.
How's it, guys? I just wanted to just say a quick thank you, you know, to all of you guys, everyone who's prayed into this. Even if you've gone and you bought a CD, you know, I mean, you guys have just been an awesome support. I mean, there's been a few people who come up to me and regularly, like, ask the status, you know, what's going on with Singapore? How far are you guys? And, you know, I just really believe that you guys are going to share in a blessing with this. It's not just like, you know, you guys are sowed into us going overseas, but, you know, you really are going to reap out of this, you know. And I just feel like God's going to be blessing you guys out of it. And, yeah, just for the whole team, the whole worship team, we just wanted to say a thank you to you guys. So thanks a lot.
Okay. Well, James asked us to give a bit of a testimony of some of the stuff that was happening over the year and, you know, sort of about Singapore and stuff. And I was looking back over the year, and actually, for the first 3 quarters of the year, absolutely nothing happened. Absolutely nothing. For myself, it was such a frustrating period of my life because I'm like always like knowing what's going on, I've got direction, know what's happening next year, and like this year was so scary for me because I'd just finished my degree. And, oh, sorry, last year was just so scary for me just because I didn't know what was happening. And I just remember being on my knees before God, and I was like, you know, what is going on? Like, you've actually got to do something in my life. And then I had this weird dream where I was pregnant, and I just suddenly looked down, and I realized I was 6 months pregnant. And I was like, oh, my gosh, how and when did I get pregnant, and how did it get to 6 months, and how did I just not know, you know? And like, at the time I was a little bit confused, but I felt like it was a bit of a prophetic thing, and I sort of put it on the shelf, and I was just sort of thinking about it. And from that time when I was on my knees, now is 9 months, and it's like God's now only been starting to do stuff like in the last 3 months of last year. And like now, you know, like 9 months is like Singapore. And I just feel like God has just been he's been so faithful. And like, how could I have even questioned him, you know? Like, his Pastor Ronnie was singing that song, His Ways Are Perfect. And like, it's just completely beyond my comprehension just to see how much God has just done in my life just in like the last week, you know. I was thinking about Singapore, and I was just, it just blows my mind that we are all going. And I was a little bit concerned because like I didn't have everything that I needed, but like I've just been thinking about stuff, and then like God's just been blessing me with those things. Like I needed an air pillow, and I thought, okay, I must go get one. And then I got blessed with one. And then I needed a travel bag because I've never been traveling before, and I got given a travel bag. And I needed some money to go buy some clothes for Singapore because it's really hot there. And I got given money, and I went and bought some shorts and T-shirts and stuff for Singapore. So it's like I'm not even verbalizing some of the things. And it's like God just knows my thoughts. He knows my heart. And he knows exactly what I need. And he's just providing for me every step of the way. And I think that for me has just been such a huge testimony, is that he's just been there every single step of the way. And now it's like this baby thing is coming, and it's like almost like the heavens are just like pouring out favor, you know? And just like when a baby's born, it's like that baby gets given clothes and stuff like that. And I just think it's just such an amazing thing just to see, just in the spiritual realm, how God just birthed something in my life, and just to see those. I'm looking forward to seeing that grow. And just something I was sharing with some of the Fusion guys today was that I really felt God was just saying to me was, let me take you further. And I'm just seeing this year, and I'm seeing Singapore as just the start of such huge things over so many people's lives in this church. And I'm just looking forward to just seeing what he does in everybody else's lives, you know. Like, this is just the tip of the iceberg. And to see this as the start of 2011, and to see, I don't even know what this year is going to hold. I was saying to everyone that I don't think this is going to be the first trip overseas this year. So I'm just, it's really increased my faith, and I'm just expecting huge things. It's just, and why not, you know, because God is such a good God, and we're just sitting in his favor, and we've got all those resources and everything just at our disposal, really. And yeah. So I just wanted to use that as an encouragement, that even when you don't see things happening, God is sowing into your life as you're going along.
Well, first of all, I'd just like to say evening, church. And definitely, God moves when you have unbelief. It's like, it's a fact, really. It's not based, it can be based on your faith or someone else's faith, but God is so good that whether or not you believe, he just moves, you know? And I really felt to say that God gave James and Karina word that we're going to Singapore. And they could have just taken the word and said, well, if we're going, you make a way. But they had an obedience to that word. And in Romans, it speaks of obedience to faith. And basically, you can believe something, but unless you're obedient and you actually persist in what you're saying, it's kind of pointless. It's like saying, God, I believe you, but unless you do it, I don't believe you. Which basically, you're saying, I don't believe. And in right saying, unbelief is disobedience. So just a little cool thing, when you're reading the Bible and ever indicates like a son needs discipline or something of being disobedience, it's basically speaking of unbelief. And the main whole thing of the Bible is whether you believe or you don't. And I just really like to say, about, I think it was last Sunday, I was sitting there and I had about 500 rand in my wallet, and that was for Singapore and that, and I just felt God say, I want you to give 100. And I was like, 100? I was like, right now that's quite a bit considering that I'm like almost going to just make it. And I just felt him say, yeah, I'll just give 100. So I put the 100 rand in the offering with much persistence and scrunching my hands and that. And within a week, God multiplied it, hey, and I got given 500 rand and then 500 rand again. And it was actually, but it wasn't exactly 1,000, it was just under. And I just like felt God laughing at it, you know. He's like, it's not exactly 10 times more, but it is. And God's quite funny, just by the way. Yeah, so I really wanted to challenge you that God's given you faith. says, unto each of us there's been given a measure of faith. And he's given you faith for certain things, but unless you be obedient to it and unless you challenge it and say, you know, I do believe this and I'm going to walk as if it's already happened or as if it's happening. And you're not saying, God, you move first and then I'll believe it. It's just saying I'm going to be obedient no matter what. And there's a huge thing. And God's going to tell you things to go stand on your head by robots, to go give money to this one, to go give food to this person, to run up and give someone a hug. God's going to tell you things, and there's really a reward to that obedience, and there's anointing that comes from just walking in that complete submission and obedience to Him.
Well, Brother Andrew, I love that guy, I really do. Yeah, evening family. Sure. It's been such a glorious year, man. Just a glorious year. And it's been a beautiful journey, and it's just this beautiful love affair with God and this relationship with Him. And I've just seen it, you know, in my own life, and I've seen it in other people's lives, of just God wooing His people and drawing them in and taking them into new little hiding spots and, you know, like new little discoveries along the way. And that to me is just what this is all about. It's just like God is having fun with us and just building a relationship with us into a beautiful love affair. And, you know, this whole Singapore thing as well, it's just been such a journey of God just showing how much He loves us. It's like, don't worry, my boy, I love you. I've got your back. I've got you sorted for this whole thing. Don't you worry. And, yeah, that to me is just, it's been such a beautiful journey this whole year. And for me, it's kind of, I think back and just how it all started. And it was just kind of a venture into, as deep was calling out to deep, you know, just going into experiencing His presence more tangibly. Like I'd never experienced before. Never thought I could ever experience. I remember, I think it was beginning of 2009, I said to a friend of mine, as we just started venturing into this experiencing more of God's presence, you know, but more often. And I remember saying to a friend of mine, I said, if someone came to me at that point and said to me, Jared, if this is as good as Christianity gets, I would have responded to that person. If they said it to me at that point in time where it was just starting into this dreams, and I would have responded, well, in that case, I'm out. And the reason why I would respond like that is because God always has more. It's not just a stop here, bus stops here kind of situation. God always has more. There's always more. It's an ever-increasing glory. So He's always got more of His presence. So for us to sit back and say, you know, done, bus stops here, whatever, then we might as well just go and be a Muslim or something. I don't know. But there's so much more to Christianity. And that to me is just—it's just been such a reality of waking up to God's goodness and experiencing it just so tangibly. Like, I just think of so many countless stories. I remember one story was I was walking to the garage, and I have a lot of these moments. It's just God does it. I don't know why, but He just opens up doors there. And I'm walking to the garage after work. During my lunch break, and I see this kid selling Avos. And I didn't want to buy Evers because they didn't look so good. So I decided just to give him some money instead. And I was just like, I walked away, came back, and then I was just like, I wanted to pray for him. So I went back to him and I prayed for him, you know, just for God's love to come upon him. And then I walked away again, and I was just like, no, wait, I think there's a healing that needs to happen. So I went back, and then like, I go to him again. I said, I want to pray for you. And he's like, I said, do you have anything that needs healing? I didn't get a word of knowledge as to what it was. I just felt like it was healing. He's like, yeah, he's got a bad knee or whatever. And so I said, well, you know, can you feel it? Can you, you know, what happens? How do you know when it's sore? He's like, yo, when he's walking or when he's running very fast or whatever, he's a lot of pain. So I said, yeah, just run down the road there and run back. And he was a bit like, okay, like, why? And I was just like, well, we're going to pray for it. I'm trusting God's going to heal it. And it was such like a beautiful thing because we prayed for his knee and I told him to run down the road and he ran down the road, not too far, maybe about 20 meters or so, and then turned around. And as he turned around, I just saw the look on his face of just pure joy on his face. And that to me was just such a. I just felt this love in my heart, and it's an agape love that God gives us, and that to me has just been, that's what, to me, what this year has been about, of just God's unconditional love, and it overflows out of us onto other people, and we just can't help it. We're just like, man, I just want to love this person. I'm not seeking after the miracles, signs, and wonders, because the miracles and signs and wonders follow us. We don't have to seek after them. We're just seeking God, and in that we experience this love, and it's out of that overflow. So yeah, this whole Singapore thing has just been such a start, a new thing, and I really feel for 2011, it's bigger than what any of us are going to expect, and I don't mean to say that in a cliche way, but in a real genuine and sincere way. And, you know, for us, I think Singapore's a big start, a big bang for that, and I'm trusting God's going to be doing some great things in Highway. I really feel there's so much ministry that's going to be happening in Highway. That it's just going to be a place that's just centered around the presence of God and founded on His grace. So, yeah, that's pretty much me. Anyone else?
Going after the youth is a bit hard, okay. but what an amazing God we have. You know, He just lives inside us, and He is in us, and we are in Him. So, when the word says that He'll never leave you nor forsake you, you just know it's the truth. And that was my word tonight, was actually the truth. Many people think that only some people are blessed. And some people have got the presence of God, and only things happen to them. Good things happen to them. But, you know, we all go through a lot of trials and tribulations. We're just not sitting within a blessing and in the glory realm, and we never go through trials and tribulations. And yes, actually, we do go through trials and tribulations. I've been through quite a lot of financial trials and tribulations, and I own my own company, and I'm a travel agent. And you deal with like a lot of ungodly, nasty people sometimes. And I booked this guy into a holiday last year, December, not this December, the December before, and his girlfriend joined him, and she said he only wanted a budget accommodation because that's what he could afford. He didn't want to go more than $850 a day. And I got him a two-bedroom place on the beach for that over Christmas and New Year. And his girlfriend came down, and she said, no, 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 she wants to stay at the Wild Coast Sun, and they're going to leave. So I said, well, you know, in the business, you can't just book a place, then just while you're there, change your mind and book into another hotel. Industry doesn't work like that. I said, but if we can re-let it, you'll get your money back. And he took the keys for the whole holiday, and we couldn't re-let it. So we couldn't give his money back. And he got very ugly because he was struggling, but he's trying to impress his girlfriend. And he was struggling, and he said, no, I had to pay for the Wild Coast Sun, and I had to pay for this, and you're going to pay for my holiday that I left. And I said, no, you know, I can't do that. And he phoned me often and emailed me, and it was a real struggle. And in May, he went to a small claims court in Joburg, and they didn't inform me that he was holding a case against me. And in July, we got the sheriff of the court knocking on the door and saying that I've got to pay for this whole accommodation because I lost the case. I wasn't even there. I didn't know about it. But in January, God's, when this is all happening, God says to me, look, it's over. Don't worry about it. So I left it. I didn't worry about it. And I left it. And in July, they knocked on our door, well, our gate, and we opened up the gate, and the sheriff of the court was there. They said, no, you've got to pay this money over. Otherwise, we're going to take your car. And this is a car. He knew what car I had, and the possessions in your house, because a lot of it's in my name. And so my husband just freaked, you know. He's not in the same walk as I am, and he just absolutely freaked. And the sheriff went, and that next week I was actually going to a Bethel conference, and I had the sheriff of the courts here, and I had like 2 days to try and sort this out before the Bethel conference. I said, Lord, you know, you said you sorted this out, so what's happening? So I want to go to this Bethel conference. I'm really excited. I've always wanted to go to America, and I can't afford it, and this is what I want, like a real whiner, but this is what I want to do. And God says, you're going to pack up, close your computer, and you're going to go to the Bethel conference, and it's in my hands. So when the Bethel conference started, my husband says, do you know what you're doing? Because you don't live in this world. I don't know where your head is, but you know what you're doing. So I said, yeah. But meanwhile, no, but I can't say I'm trusting God, because said, this is our house and our car and, you know, what are you doing? So I said, no, don't worry, I've got it all under control. Meanwhile, I'd phoned 7 attorneys and not one attorney could help me. Not one. And I called my brother over and my husband was phoning this attorney and that attorney and God says, just pack up and go to Bethel. So then I packed up and went to Bethel and we sang from 8 o'clock in the morning till 10 o'clock at night every day. And wow, with such glory. And I came back on Thursday night and I opened up all my emails and there was a letter that I had to pay by 5 o'clock on Friday, the full sum, otherwise they're coming at 5 o'clock on Friday to pick up all my possessions. So, like, my husband reads this email and says, do you know what you're doing? So I said, yeah, don't worry, you know, it's all under control. So I came here on Friday for a meeting and I finished at about 1 o'clock and I went home and I was absolutely in such a state. And like my husband was at work and I thought, okay, time is either I'm going to pay this money, we're making an arrangement to pay this money off, or I'm going to trust God. And I had 3 hours. So on my way home, I said, Lord, what am I doing? I've got 3 hours left. And he says, you're going to just forget about it. It's finished. And I got home and I opened up my email and the guy emailed me and he says, I've decided to close the case and I'm not suing you anymore and it's all finished and here's a letter for confirmation that the 250,000 rand that he was going to sue me is completely closed. So it was, yeah, it was hard, guys. It's not easy. It's your husband. I haven't got a husband to say, come, let me hold your hand and pray with you. You know, I've got a husband who's saying, what are you doing? Your head's in the clouds. Your feet are not on the floor. You're dancing around, and I don't know where you are. Okay? So I haven't got the same where we can just stand together and pray and work this all out together. You know, I've got a guy who wants to face reality and logic. In any case, he looked at it and he said, wow, it's amazing. And we often get together as girls on Saturday afternoon, every Saturday afternoon, and we worship and we praise God. And God says to me, you know, you keep on asking me for 200 rand to pay this and 500 rand to pay that. He said, stop acting like a dog asking for crumbs. He says, I want you to ask me for big money now. I don't want you to try and get, you ask for 200 rand, I give you 200 rand, you jump around for joy because you can pay your maid. I want you to ask me for big money now. So I said, okay, you know, Lord, I want 30,000 rand. That's what I want. And this is in July. I didn't have a website because the guy I was supposed to make it didn't make it. I didn't advertise because I didn't have any money. I said, yeah, I want 30,000 rand. And I got 30,000 rand that month. And he says, and for 2 months after that, I didn't do very well. And he says, why have you forgotten to tell me? I've already got it for you. Why didn't you ask? I said, okay, December, I want 40,000 rand. Well, he gave me 43. Whoa. Thank you, Lord.
Hi, yes, we serve an amazing, amazing God. And I came to church just over a year ago as a broken woman, broken marriage. And I spend a lot of time on my knees begging God, why is this happening to me? I've been serving you and I love you. And he took me through a journey. Nobody will understand, but I was stripped of everything I had. And he pulled me up and he dressed me layer by layer with love, with faith, with hope, with a bag that I'm going to use as a ministry to go and preach to the people. And he's given me the word. He's given me water and food to feed the people with. That is his vision for me. And he took me over. And a couple of weeks ago, I said, God, this is so hard. I can't do it anymore. And he said, go and read Jeremiah. I formed you in the womb. Read it. I said, yes, God, I know that. He said, read it. Do you understand what I'm telling you? He said, when you gave your heart to me, you were the little seed and you've been growing. I've been feeding you through the umbilical cord. I've been nurturing you. When you kicked, I loved you. Because when there's no movement, you're dead. But you've been alive and you've been growing. I'm nurturing you all the way. I know your needs. I know what you're going through. So acknowledge what you need because I've already granted to you and live from thankfulness. And that's where your victory lies. And you know how awesome that is? And I've been praising God and I've been giving Him the glory. And I got this nasty SMS for Christmas night. And I looked at this and Michelle came over and I started laughing in the spirit. The victory is God. I don't care what happens because God is King. He's brought me through. And with His joy, He's brought me where I am today and He's taking me big places. I know it and I declare it because the victory is His, not mine.
Hi, good evening. Sorry. I just want to say thanks for an opportunity to share about the goodness of God. I was going to share one testimony earlier on, but then I've just felt right now in my spirit to share another one. It's been amazing. This has been amazing here. This has absolutely been amazing here, seeing God doing amazing things. But the Bible says that let your light shine, your light shine, so that all may see and glorify your Father who is in heaven. So it's your light that's shining. And it's you who letting that light shine. Otherwise it wouldn't say, let your light shine. So as I'm standing here, I'm seeing many lights here that are shining. And take this and put it in your pocket. Your light is going to shine even brighter than what is shining now. I think it was 4 months ago. I met James I was having an interview, actually. I was supposed to have an interview. And we met for a coffee. We decided to meet for a coffee in Spurs here in Westwood Mall. And so we just chatted. We chatted about the trip to Singapore and stuff that God was speaking at the time. And it was just the couple of people in Spurs at that time. But there was a lady who just came in and she said, probably four chairs after us. And we're just sitting there and we're chatting and we're getting drunk, laughing and having fun and enjoying God. And this lady, she come to us. And she asked us a question, why are we laughing? We just told her that we're laughing because God is in a good mood. And the amazing thing is that this lady ended up being saved there in the mall. Why? Because we are the light. And we let our light shine. We're not functioning this. We're just living it. Exactly what Andrew said earlier on. It's obedient. At times, you don't have to do anything. They just see the light on you. And they come and ask you questions. And so that is my testimony amongst many that I would have shared. But that one, when God just stares people's heart because He knows that they are ripe and ready. That woman, she said to us that she was hesitant. She didn't want to come to Westwood Mall because she lives far out and she had choice, but she didn't know why she had to come to that place. But God directed there for one purpose, because He loves her. And we are that light. Thank you.
Sure. I was just I just wrote a few notes down so I don't waffle. And I was just thinking, at the end of 2009, bless you, At the end of 2009, the reality was that I had a failing coaching business, and there was a good possibility that I had to find a job and start getting into the real world. But the one time when you enjoy the word but, I liked what you said, that the word but is the word with the greatest word of discouragement. But when it's linked with but God, it changes everything. And basically, God just put into my heart, the reality was, I had a business that wasn't going anywhere, and something had to change. And God just put a little seed into my heart, and he said, 2010, the year of the pen. And I'd been writing articles for the coaching magazines and what have you, and so I thought, well, I'm going to write a lot more articles, and maybe I'm going to eventually finish that book and what have you. And then I looked at this business the one day, and I just suddenly realized the thing that I wasn't focused on. I used to just hold a meeting for business people once a month. It's called KBN. It's a networking thing. And I looked, and it wasn't a focus. It was a side issue. And I suddenly looked at it, and I thought, this thing is exploding. The only problem was I wasn't making any money from it. And I just sat down and said, God, give me a wisdom. And he just showed me how to do it smartly and with wisdom. And out of that, just this little thing came that with these amazing business people, I wanted to do something where I could get them out there. So I have a real passion for business, Christian businesses supporting one another and us supporting Christian businesses. And so Connect Magazine was born. And I was just, that first song that we sang, it's from Scripture. It's from my favorite psalm, which is Psalm 18. And it says, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tested and tried. He is a shield to those who take refuge and put their trust in him. And I remember there was many times, the year before and this last year, when that song came on, I couldn't even sing it because the situation looked so impossible at times that all I could do was raise my hands because I couldn't sing because I was crying too much. And I want to tell you that when things look absolutely like they are dead, that they are actually only the beginning. It's a birthing place. It's the darkest before the light actually comes. And we're now, I just want to show you, have our fourth edition of Connect Magazine. And this one particularly, the testimony of this one was actually printed. If you look very closely, if you smell it, it's printed in my blood, sweat, and tears. Because this one particularly, we had 90 rand in the bank account, and it was just my inexperience. I am totally unqualified to do a magazine. And I kept asking God every time he said, this is what I want you to do. I kept thinking, but Lord, I know nothing about advertising. And he just said, great, it won't be like any other magazine, which it isn't. And we had 90 rand in the account. The reality was 90 rand in the account, for a 34,000 rand thing that I had to pay, paying back people and the printers and all that. And the way that it worked out is that most of the adverts that were in here had already been paid and the money had been used the issue before. So there was no chance of money coming in through the advertisers. And it was just amazing how God did it. There were a few key people that came on board and took full page ads and what have you. And then I also realized I had done a few things that were very unwise, trying to be too generous, because it's not always wise to do that. And yeah, and then just about a week before we had to go to print, our designer, God reassigned her. So she didn't resign, but she got reassigned, and she went to go and support her husband. And I didn't know the program that this runs on. It's called InDesign. And on the Thursday night before the Monday this went to print, I got a crash course in how to use InDesign. And that got home to a son who was peaking temperatures like you cannot believe. And then we had to take him off to the hospital the next morning to find out that he had pneumonia. And I phoned my mom because I've got to print this magazine, figure out how to use this thing. And now I've got a child who's now, they've told me he's got pneumonia. My mom's saying, don't receive that message. Just you pray. We'll pray. And all the glory girls started praying up a storm. And we have no medical aid. So I knew it was going to we're going to now have to find that money as well, which we didn't know where it was going to come from. And all through this, I kept thinking, and you know, as we were, just before we came up, God just gave me a picture. I'm a picture person. And just so, I don't know if anyone's ever seen the that movie Alien. You remember the poster with that horrible alien sort of over here dripping its gob all over her shoulder, and he's standing like that. And that's exactly what the enemy does, because he can't touch us, but he can come and he can. I've had him on my shoulder the whole year this year saying, you're going to fail. You're a failure. It's happened. You have a pattern of failing. And it's only failure if you stay down. If you get up, it's not failure. It's just a lesson learned. And if you learn the lesson, you, as old John Maxwell says, you fail forward. Anyway, on Monday morning at 2:30, we finished this magazine and it went to print. And we basically, almost all the money's up to date. The printers, I've spoken to them and they find there's a little gap there, which we can fill up and what have you. But everyone was paid off, apart from there's also another outstanding bit. But God has been incredibly, incredibly faithful. And this thing wasn't even in my mind at the beginning of this year. It wasn't even something that I thought of. It was a little seed, and I want to encourage you that as God speaks, don't wait for the answers and for the big picture. In fact, if he gives you the big picture, if he'd shown me what this year held, I would have run 1,000 miles and said, no thanks, I'm not up for it, because I don't have the capacity for it. But he grows your capacity as you step out and just be obedient. Just go, okay, Lord, and he would say, go to this person, go to that person. Just one more testimony. Right in the beginning of this magazine, someone had given me Titch Smith's name and his number and said, go and see him. Maybe he'll take an advert. And I was driving all the way there, hardly had any petrol, and I'm on the way there, it's all the way in Umhlanga, and on the way there, God said to me, don't ask him for an advert. I just want you to go and hear his story. And I thought, no, Lord, you don't understand. I need this advert, and I can't just spend all this petrol going there. And so I was obedient. And then I felt silly, because I thought, I don't have an agenda, I'm just going to this guy, hi, I'd like to hear your story, you know. Thank goodness he's a Christian too. So I was so unraveled by it that when I walked through the door, they said, where do you come from? And I said, Pinetown. I mean, where do you, Connect Magazine. And I didn't even have a name then, actually. So I sat down with him, and he just shared his story. And another scripture that God gave me at the beginning of this year was that scripture in Proverbs where it says, he who is skillful and diligent in business will stand before kings and not obscure men. And I've stood before kings this year. I've met the most incredible people. And it's just been just God leading one step at a time. And watch this space. This magazine's going to rock. And someone asked me, what is your vision for Connect Magazine? And it's world domination. So...
Hello, everyone. I just want to say God can bless you through anyone and in any way. Some of you may have heard this testimony already. In about, I think it was May or June, I was cooking on a Thursday afternoon, and I was like, oh, Lord, you know, everyone's being blessed with stuff. I want to be blessed with some money, just because I want to. So this is about 3:30, and about 8 o'clock that night, my dad phones me, and he says, I've just been given some money through my work, and I just felt I wanted to bless you with it. I was like, okay. And as he's talking to me, I'm like, Lord, you know I need this money for my car. And then he says to me, instead of giving you the money, how about I put it towards your car? So I was like, okay. And it wasn't just like 100 rand or whatever, it was in the thousands. So then, then it was the Saturday, I went to their house, and I look at the account that he put the money on my car, and he actually had put more than what he told me he was going to put. And I just sat there and I thought, Lord, this is not funny. I can see you laughing at me, you know, but it's just, God blesses you just because he wants to. And I didn't need money. I didn't need finances. I'm fine, you know, but I just like, Lord, I want something too. And if you want something too, put your foot down and say, I want something too.
Amen, Michelle. Awesome. If we could have the worship team up, please. We're going to worship Jesus for what he's done this last year. It's just been absolutely awesome. Amen? Absolutely awesome. You know, Jacob wrestled with God, eh? Jacob wrestled with God because he said, I am not leaving until you bless me. And you know what? We often feel, no, that's selfish. That's very, very self-seeking and self-centered. That's
usually the religious mind speaking. Friends, God is a good God, and He loves to bless you. And you know what? It actually humbles you. When you think, I can actually ask God for a blessing, it actually humbles you. So why don't you stand tonight? Let's worship Jesus for what He's done this year, last year, and thank Him for what He's going to do this year, and ask Him. Guys, there's a lot of space up here in the front. There's space at the back. We're just going to worship Jesus, and we do right now. Jesus, we thank You for the amazing stories and testimonies of Your goodness and provision in 2010. And Father, we thank You that You are such a good Father, that You have even more to come. Lord, Your word that has been shared tonight is a prophetic spirit over this place right now that we receive and we draw from. And Lord, we know that things that are not will become as though they are because Your word has been spoken out tonight. And so we receive these words. Whatever situation we face, be it financial, for those that need a home, for those that need a house, a new place to stay, for those that need a new job, a new career, for people entering new business ventures, for people starting in new areas of study, we just declare open doors and abundant provision, abundant blessing right now in the name of Jesus. Health and wholeness over Your people. We thank You, Jesus, as we worship You tonight. Amen.